house would rocks cry out to worship, whose glory taught the stars to shine. Perhaps creation longs to have the words to sing, but this joy is mine. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more. Who else would die for our redemption? Whose resurrection means our rise? There isn't time enough to see all you've done, but I have eternity to try. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. Hallelujahs and a thousand more. Praise to the Lord, to the Lamb, to the King.
Our scripture today comes from the fourth chapter of Luke. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus has been baptized and has overcome temptation from Satan when we begin this passage. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, the people were amazed just as they would be amazed today. If you talk about the promise of God coming and someone proclaiming that it has arrived, you would be surprised too. One of the hardest things, I think, for people to understand is this idea of grace. Even at the time Jesus is saying it, Jesus is reading Isaiah 61, which is commenting on Isaiah 58, which is talking about Leviticus 25. I don't know how many of you have tried to read your way through the Bible. First book is Genesis. Some good stuff in there. Second book is Exodus. It's darn exciting. They make movies about that. Then you get to Leviticus. And lots of people stop reading the Bible all the way through. Right there. But if you get all the way to Leviticus 25, you hear about something called the Year of Jubilee. When the prisoners are set free. When debts are forgiven. When lands are restored. And the people of God begin again. It's a promise that began in Leviticus, carried through to Isaiah hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. I can let you know, it's kind of interesting to read the history of the Jewish people because they used to try to make excuses not to carry out the year of Jubilee. You can imagine if you loan someone money the year before the year of Jubilee, you're not going to get any back. So human nature begins to seep in. And it made me mindful of the parable of the workers in the vineyard. It's a scripture that many pastors don't like to preach on. It's the idea that the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a full denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. This is good pay. You're getting, I don't know, what do you want to say? Journeyman's wages, union wages, you're getting full pay. He goes out at noon, says people not working. He says, well, you go in, I'll settle up with you later. Couple hours before closing time, he sees more people and he says, hey, go in there, let's finish up, I'll settle with you later. And he goes in and he starts to pay them off and he pays the people who have been there for a couple hours the full denarii. They're delighted. The people who've been there since the day started are excited because they think they're going to get even more. But they all get the same pay. People see an injustice in this. But Jesus said, isn't that what you wanted? Wasn't what you wanted a full day's pay? Didn't I give it to you? Why do you begrudge the ones that I gave it to as well? Human nature wants grace, but we want it on our terms. And that's the problem with Christianity and the relationship we have with God. We want to look at it as a contract rather than a covenant. We want to bargain with God. We want God to bless our plans. We want God to consult us, or we want to consult God. But we don't have that standing. That's not where we are. We are in a place of grace. One of the things about grace is that we don't understand how precious it is until it's something that we actually need. There is an illustration that Charles Spurgeon uses, and it's a dated thing because there's corporal punishment involved, but I invite you to listen anyway. It's retold in a different context, but I want to read it in its original. A little boy goes into the principal's office, slams the door, and said, "Go ahead, bring it on." Principal said, "This isn't your first time here, is it?" He says, "You know it's not. Let's just get it on and get it over with." He says, "And you've been punished every time you come." He says, "Yeah, if you want to call it that. Do what you're going to do. I can take whatever you can dish out. I always have." And as you go about doing stuff, the punishment and the spanking never enters your head, does it? "Nope, I just do what I want to do. Ain't nothing anybody's going to do to stop me either." Principal turned to the teacher and said, "Well, what do you do this time?" "Fighting." He slugged Tommy and then smashed his face into the sandbox. Principal said to the boy, "What did Tommy do to you?" He says, "He looked at me funny." Teacher stiffened. And the principal said, "Today you're going to learn a new lesson. What do you know about grace?" He says, "It's what people say before they sit down to eat. And I don't need none of it." He says, "Well, you really do. Grace is a gift you can't earn." The boy said, "Well, what's that mean? That mean you're not going to whip me? You're going to let me walk? No punishment at all?" He says, "No. There's going to be a punishment." Principal said to the teacher, "Bring the belt." The teacher handed the principal the leather strap. He folded it in two and handed it to the teacher. And he took the boy's hands and pulled them out and turned them over. And the boy looked down at the ground. The principal said, "I want you to count every stroke." But then the principal held out his hands and nodded to the teacher, and the teacher hit the principal's hands. And the boy jumped. And the principal looked at the little boy until he said, "One." Then the teacher hit the principal again. He said, "Two." His voice raked an octave as he said, "Three," and he couldn't believe it. And he said, "No, stop, stop. I'm the one that deserves this. Stop." But he took the blows all the way to 10. And the principal, with the welts on the back of his hands, took the boy's crying face in his hand, and he says, "That is grace. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. The nails he took were for us. The lashes he took were for us. And nothing can be done to earn it. We have to accept it with grace." The story is that the boy left changed. We don't know how changed, and we don't know how long it took. But the idea that there are consequences that have to be paid, and grace is when someone else takes them for you. Too often we think that when we take grace, it is a gift. But we don't understand that grace still has its consequences. The whole idea of the year of Jubilee is to restore things to the way they were before. And that's a hard thing for us to understand. Because we see things through the world's eyes and we don't understand what the heavenly vision looks like. That's why when we look at the vineyard and we see the people who only work 2 hours getting a full day's wage, we go, it's not fair. It's not fair through the world's eyes, but it's fair through God's. We've lost perspective of who does the measuring. I've used the illustration before, but back in the 80s, Bono of YouTube sang a song called I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. The interesting thing is he did find what he was looking for. When he heard, I believe it was Jack Hayford, preaching on grace, and that the God that we serve has grace beyond anything that we can understand. I now use an illustration from Ed Stanley Jr. out in Texas. He asks a trivia question. He says, how many gallons of water are there in the ocean? Well, the Oceanography Institute says it's 3.61 times 10 to the 20th gallons of ocean. So 3 followed by 21 zeros. How many stars are in the known universe? Approximately 76 trillion. So a 7's found 22 zeros after it. How many grains of sand are there in the world? 7 quintillion, which is a 7 with 30 zeros after it. Then Ed says, and even if the numbers are just approximations and are a little bit off, they're not enough because God's grace is bigger than that. And what Bono was struck by is that in all the world religions he'd looked at, there was a certain amount of penance, there were ways to be cut off, there were things that could not be restored, and in Christianity there was no such thing. Grace covered all sins. And when he heard that, he says, that's what I want to be part of. And that grace became his. Now, it pushes up against our ideas of what fair is. But when it plays out, it can be a really wonderful thing. There was a pretty much a forgettable movie, but it was a Hugh Grant movie. And there's a little boy who is in the movie, and he has decided that he is going to sing a song in front of the entire school because it would make his mom happy, and he wants to do what she would like. Problem is he's not a very good singer. And as he sings, everyone begins to snicker and laugh. And Hugh Grant steps out and starts singing the song even worse and even more flamboyantly to take all the ridicule off the little boy who's trying to do the right thing. Grace in action. So folks, as we look at this year of Jubilee and this idea of restoration, let's be honest, we go to the parable of the workers and say, you know, I understand grace, but that's really not fair. Shouldn't the people who've been there all along get something extra? Now, the first thing I'd like to say is you did. You didn't experience what it's like not to have the job, not to have the opportunity. There's a horrible TV show that I've already forgot the name of. But the tagline at the end is, some people have to lie just to survive. Couldn't relate to that at all. And as I was writing the sermon, I realized how lucky I was that I don't understand that at all. I've never been put in a position where that level of desperation is part of who I am. And as we look at one of the classic examples we see in C.S. Lewis's Great Divorce, we have people living in heaven, and they have friends and family in hell. And the people from hell are brought up to heaven, and the people in heaven try to convince them to stay. And believe it or not, the people who came from hell want to go back. Because heaven is too bright, it's too loud, it's too much. But the character that I remember most keeps saying over and over again, I don't want a handout, I just want what I have coming. Don't want a handout, I only want what I have coming. The wages of sin are death. Who deserves to go to heaven? Jesus. Maybe Mary. Rest of us? I don't think it's something we truly deserve to live in a perfect paradise. I don't think I've had an hour of perfection, much less a lifetime of it. If I'm going to get to heaven, it's going to have to be a gift. It's going to have to be one that I receive. I can't yearn for what I deserve and what I've earned. I have to take the gift. That's what grace is. Could you pray with me? Lord, as we come before you today, we do admit that sometimes we go back to the vineyard. We want to bargain or negotiate with God and say, you know, couldn't you give the people who were there all day a little extra something? Help us understand that what he gives us is our heart's desire. Something that we cannot earn. Something that we don't deserve. But being restored into relationship with God, a relationship that we broke. Help us to see grace as the gift it is. Not think of our merit, but think of our gratitude. And all God's people said. Thank you. good morning.